Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. The Lord has blessed us and enabled us this privilege of being present in this place. And what a joy it is to be alive, alert, and active. For the Lord has blessed us beyond enumeration, and we ought to be glad about it. Certainly thank God for these that are here, the persons of Deacon McLean, Deacon Douglas Vincent, Brother Joe Evans, Reverend Gilchrist, and Reverend McCoy. Certainly to the media ministry and to all of you who's watching via Facebook, sermon, audio, and the other means and methods that we have to make a connection from this place to your places of humble abode. We thank God for what he's doing and what he has done already. Listen, I want to draw your attention prior to reading this passage, Matthew's in Matthew chapter 13, to our prayer list. And I would that you make note of the persons that I will call so that you can pray for them as you pray. Reverend Edward May, Reverend Jesse Van, Sister Rosie White, Sister Donna Mitchell, Sister Broom, Sister Mormon, Gloria Mormon, Sister Fancher, Mother Strait, Sister Bland, Tommy Bland, Sharon Bland, Vincent, Stanley Bland. Pray for Brother Samuel Barnes, Sister Stacy Walton, Brother Robert Dowley, Sister Mertis Cook, Sister Hashberry, Brother Hutchins, Clarence Hutchins, Sister Queen Rush, Sister Nix, Juanita Nix, Sister Barbara Moulton, Brother Charles Steele, Sister Lois Blackman, and Sister Rosie May. Those persons are on our prayer list. We also have persons who are in the hospital, and I ask that you write these particulars down as well so you can pray for them. Reverend Gregory McCarroll, Sister Virginia McCormick, Sister Kim Johnson Drake. We have bereaved Reverend Willie Foster, his brother passed. Deacon Charles Turner, his brother passed. And then those persons that we have called out on last week that have lost loved ones. So that ask that we busy ourselves praying for those persons, because the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. So thank you in advance for your prayers and praying for members of this church as they are going through different things, but God is our caregiver. He's our caretaker, and we can trust him in and out of all situations, for we are told in the word of the Lord to trust him with our whole hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways we are to acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. So we thank God for allowing us the privilege of being here. If you will, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. First nine verses. Matthew chapter 13, the first nine verses. And it reads, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together, unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no depthness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some a hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's the word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being doers and hearers of his holy word. I want to talk about the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. We understand that Jesus, prior to this particular teaching experience, had been in a house where he was confronted by his mother and brothers because they thought he was beside himself. He thought he was mad. He was deranged because of his claims of being the Messiah. For not only was his family doubtful of his person and position, but his friends, those who had grew up with him around Nazareth, thought he was deranged because they only saw him as the carpenter's boy. But Jesus stood his ground and remained in his teachings to his disciples because he understood that his time was limited and he needed to prepare them for ministry in his absence. So he didn't allow his family, those who were biologically close to him, to disturb him. And we shared on last week that we have to be careful because sometimes people who would doubt us most are the people who share the same address. But Jesus stood and remained faithful in his teaching. We don't know how much time has elapsed between that particular encounter or engagement or occasion and this teaching experience that Jesus now is on the seashore, and the crowd has rushed him, causing him to get in a boat and launch out a little way into the sea. The boat was his pulpit, where he stood and taught the mass crowd about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven. I want to put emphasis on that because we have lost the concept. We have lost the gist of the kingdom of heaven. What this church business is all about. What being saved and what being servants of God is all about. That God has called us into his kingdom to teach others of his kingdom. that Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. His method of teaching was parabolic. The word parable, parable, which means to place beside. A parable places something unfamiliar beside something familiar for the purpose of teaching. A parable uses familiar scenes and objects to explain spiritual truths. Parables make a comparison between a known truth and an unknown truth. Well, Jesus taught in parables, but not only did he teach in parables, he reveals unto us in verses 10 and some of the following verses why he taught in parables. Now, before I delve into the verses 1 through 9, let me share with you why Jesus taught in parables. Jesus taught in parables, number one, to communicate truth to his disciples, according to Matthew chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. He was communicating with his disciples the truth. But not only did he teach to communicate the truth to his disciples, but secondly, he taught in parables to hide the truth from unbelievers. Verse 12 of Matthew chapter 13. But then thirdly, he taught parabolically because he fulfilled the words of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where he says, "Who believed the report?" So that Isaiah's prophecy would point to him. He taught parabolically because there were some in Jesus' day, just like there were in Isaiah's day, that did not believe the word of God. So he taught to communicate the truth, to hide the truth from unbelievers, and to fulfill the word of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Notice this parable is called the parable of the sower. However, the emphasis of the parable is not so much on the sower, but on the soils. Don't miss it now. It's on the soils. There are four soils mentioned. The four soils denote four different kinds of hearts, one of which represents mine and yours. He told this parable to denote the rejection or reception of God's seed sown into the heart of man. The sower is indiscriminate about where he sows seed. The sower casts seed everywhere. On wayside soil, on rocky soil, on thorny soil, and on good soil. He didn't just reserve his seed for the good soil. He cast his seed everywhere. And the seeds are cast into one field with various kinds of soil. Listen, the field is the earth, and the word of God is going throughout the earth, and everybody is hearing it. The same seed is cast all over the earth. That's why the word of God must be shared with all nations and in all places, because God wants his word shared everywhere. The sower is God. The seed is his word. And the soils represents the heart of man. Notice, God casts his word on all men, And the reason God casts his word on all men is revealed to us in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. And it says, God our Savior desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires. We can't be like Jonah. In that we believe that certain people don't deserve to hear the word. No, God desire that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl hear the word of God, because he wants every person to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So the seed, the word of God, is shared with all men regardless of the condition of their heart. It is clearly seen now as we study this that all people will not receive the seed to be saved. Now, I'm not teaching inclusivity. I'm not teaching that. I'm not teaching that, you know, eventually everybody will be saved. I'm not teaching that. I'm teaching straight out of the text. And it reveals to us that only one type soul will receive the word to be saved and to be fruitful. So this is not the doctrine of inclusivity. The doctrine of universalism. I'm not teaching that. I'm teaching this, what Jesus taught. He says, all people will not receive the seed to be saved. Matter of fact, most people will reject the seed and will not be saved. Now, the disciples of Jesus were blessed because they were privileged to see and to hear the truth. They were privileged to see, to understand. Are y'all in here with me? And hear the truth. Now, let me delve in now and deal with the soils. And remember that the soils denote our hearts. It reveals to us what type of heart we have. He starts out in verse 3 by dealing with what I consider the hard heart. It says, Jesus began this parable by saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. In Jesus' day, a sower would walk through a field with a sack of seed to sow in the field. And they had a rhythmic type sowing. As they walked, they would circularly cast the seed. Would sow the seed. They didn't have, you know, pushing sowers that you push, kind of like what we have for our lawns today and to sow seed and fertilize and all of that. They cast with their hand. And it says that he went through the field and he cast seed. And verse 4 says that as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, the hard ground, the wayside ground, and birds came and devoured them. Now, notice the wayside in biblical times went directly through the field. Wayside was compacted ground. It was almost like concrete, which means it was impossible for the seed to penetrate. So the seed would just lie on the top of the ground and the birds would come and eat the seed. Wayside soil represents a hard heart that the Word of God cannot penetrate. Now, don't think everybody who gathers on Sunday or in any other setting where there is a mass or a crowd of people, that everybody in the place is receiving the word. You have some hard hearts that show up, that come in with no intention of hearing the word and receiving the word so that the word of God can change their life. They have already made up in their minds before even stepping into the sanctuary that they were not going to hear the word of God regardless of who it came from. Hard heart. A made up mind. God is sowing seed. And he sows it on top of the wayside. Notice, he casts seeds through songs. He casts seeds through Bible studies, sermons, and reading the scripture, through prayer. He casts seeds. But by choice, man refusing to hear and heed the seed brings about the judgment of God upon himself. Because the text says, the birds come and devour the seed. You know, this just hit me. Let me kind of share this with you. You can be in church and you have to watch devourers. You know, you be in church and you done got a good word. And as soon as you step outside the doors of the sanctuary, here comes somebody talking about, if I were you. Birds coming to take that seed before it can catch root in your life. Did you hear what he said? If I were you, I wouldn't do nothing he said. Well, you ain't me. You know, you have to watch birds. Listen, if you keep refusing the Lord, he will allow the enemy, Satan, to be loose in your life to take it from you. That's what meant by the word. But in the word where it says that the birds came. That God will allow the devil to take away the seed from your heart. From you. Now, let me show it to you. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan is trying to keep you from receiving the word, because the word of God is a weapon that God gives us to use against him. He didn't want you to get seed. So you have to watch devourers, people who will fly in. They can't wait until you get out there good. They flying in and they want to take that word out of you just that quick. As soon as you step out of the sanctuary, there they go. Devour, hard heart, won't receive the word. He not only deals with the hard heart, he deals with the hasty heart. He describes the second kind of heart. He says, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth, no depth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now he explains, this is the one who hears God's word and immediately with joy receives it. But won't, the person that has received the word won't allow the word to take root in his heart. You know, this kind of heart endures for a while. You know, it's like, you know, saying you're going to make a change after someone close to you die or pass away. And that change, that altering of your life didn't last long because it wasn't in the heart. It's like, you know, going out of one year into another and making New Year resolutions. To say, you know, this year in 2021, I'm going to do better. And now we are in March of 2021, and you have kept the same course you had in 2020. That you heard a sermon and it did something to you. And you were excited. But your excitement, your fire has been extinguished. There's no, you know, no depth. So, you know, the root has not taken a hold in the heart. So the rocky or stony ground is shallow soil with rocks beneath. And the plants do fine, you do fine, you do well until a dry season comes. Let something happen. Let something that you didn't plan take place. It rocks and shakes and removes you from your word and all that you have claimed that you would do and all of that. It has taken you from your promise and your covenant. Because you're shallow. See, the hasty heart is quick to talk and slow to do. You ever run across people that talk a whole lot of Christian talk? You know, if you listen to them now, you'll think, you know, they next to Jesus now. But if you follow them a little while, you know, that's haste. You know, sometimes we talk too soon. And we get ourselves in trouble because we open our mouths too quick and say things that we don't mean. This stony soil represents a hasty heart that makes impulsive or emotional decisions for Christ. The Word of God never really took root in the life. And as a result, the commitment to Christ is only temporary. That would happen in the life of Jesus. You know how some people will start out with you, but they may not end with you. And you have to be okay with that. It happened in the life of Paul. You know, Paul and Barnabas got into a heated, you know, argument over John Mark. You know, John Mark started out with him on the first missionary journey. And the second go round that Barnabas wanted to bring back John Mark, and Paul didn't. So you have to be okay, because some people make haste decisions. Impulsive and emotional decisions for Christ. Tears doesn't mean commitment. Wailing doesn't mean commitment. Sometimes people are crying because they're guilty. Doesn't mean they're changed. So the word has to take root. But it doesn't take root in the hasty heart. So, not only does he deal with the hard heart, hasty heart, but he deals with the hostile heart. He describes this kind of heart. He says in Psalm fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Notice the hostility, the contention between the wheat and the thorns. They are jockeying for the ground, the wheat and the thorn now, in the same field, in the same area of the field. And the wheat can't come up and produce because the thorns, the weeds, are quicker in growth, and they choke out, smother out. You see this? So the hostile heart represents he that receives seed among the thorns. And he hears the word, and notice the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He got something going on in his heart. Want to be with God, but then he want to chase after the things of the world. Don't miss it now. He talk about being faithful unto God, but in actuality he's chasing after the cares of the world and the riches of the world. And the word of God is being choked out of his life. Now, this heart represents the heart where God's word has rivals. You ever, you know, share the word with people, and in sharing the word with people, when you get it out, they put a butt. And then they attach to what they are saying, God understands. Because their heart is not settled on the word of God. See, the person that has a hostile heart is busy being torn in several directions. I know it's right to be with God, but then God understands that, you know, I have to make a life. And we don't want to say that it's just, you know, that the fact that we're chasing after the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. He says, notice, two antagonists that's hostile toward the word of God, the cares of the world. The cares, or the word care, means worry or distraction. And Jesus warns us of being worrisome in Matthew chapter 6. And he tells us that we are to put the kingdom of God first. The kingdom of heaven first. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things. And the cares of the world is included in all these things, because he talks about what we will eat, what we will drink, and what we'll wear. Those are cares of the world. Things that concern us in the world. And he tells us how to do it. And here it is. He repeats it again. He says that the word of God is choked out because they are pursuing the cares of the world, which means that they see the cares of the world as priority. And when you see the cares of the world as priority, it brings about worry and distraction. Satan uses worry to choke out God's word out of our lives. Worry fights against biblical thoughts and distracts us from applying the word to our lives. That's why you need a constant intake of the word to put some of those deranged and disorganized thoughts in place in your mind. But he says, not only the cares of the world, but the deceitfulness of riches. Riches are deceitful because many people believe it will make them happy. I can remember, and I'm going to use tonight, when R. Kelly started going through all with the women. And prior to, he had such confidence in his money that he felt invincible. He felt untouchable. And as things rocked on, he realized that he was deceived by his riches because his riches left him. Listen, it's all right to have money. I'm not teaching against having money, but don't let money have you. Money is a great servant, but a terrible master. And we can be deceived by money. You know, we think if we have a certain amount of money, you know, it can kind of brought us to be somebody that we've never been. We think that it puts us in another class, social class. You know, in the Americanized economic system, you have the low class, middle class, upper class, higher, upper, and all like that. So it's classism. And we think that money puts us in a certain bracket. But you'll be deceived. You'll be deceived. And we are warned here by Jesus not to be deceived by riches. He says, we can get so caught up in trying to make a life, or making a life, busy making a life, that we don't take the time to make a life, to live life. You know, I've discovered that there's some things I can do without now. Now, if you'd caught me 20, 30 years ago, I had to have it, you know. Certain things I had to have, I thought I had to have, but now, you know, I have a little time under my belt, you know. Certain things I don't have to have. It doesn't bother me if I don't have it, you know. So he says the hostile heart is taken by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Let me finish by dealing with the healthy heart. The healthy heart. He says some seed fell on good ground and produced a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Verse 23, Jesus explained that good ground represents a person that hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. Notice, hear the word, understands it, and bears fruit. Hears the word and put the word in place in his life. He lives according to the word. And the Bible says that he bears fruit. So he describes the fourth heart as cultivated, a cultivated heart. And a cultivated heart is a healthy heart. And a healthy heart allows God's word to take deep roots. A healthy heart bears fruit. Notice Jesus in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, here it is, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The healthy heart allows the word of God to take deep root. And it's productive. It produces fruit. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Notice the foals mentioned in the text, that the foals produced by people with healthy hearts. Some produce 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Y'all see it? Everyone is not equally productive. Lord help me. But everyone can bear 100% within their ability to produce. Let me say that again. Everyone is not equally productive, but everyone can bear 100% within their ability to produce. If you are 100-fold, if you are 100-fold plant, you are expected to produce 100-fold. That's 100%. If you are a 60-fold plant, you are expected to produce 60-fold. That's 100%. If you're 30-fold and you produce 30-fold, that's 100%. So everyone can bear 100% within their ability to produce. Now, here's the problem. Here's where the problem comes in. When you are 100-fold and you acting 60-fold. Or if you 60 and you acting 30. That's a problem, because now you're not operating and producing at 100%. Y'all remember the song, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100. 99 and a half won't do. God has a problem when you start producing beneath your potential, your ability to produce. Everyone is not equally productive, but everyone can bear 100% within their ability to produce. You're 100-fold. You do a 100-fold do. Don't let nobody talk you down to being a 60-fold producer when God has gifted you and blessed you to be a 100-fold producer. You 60. Don't get mad because God didn't make you 100-fold. And because you're not 100-fold, you now decide to be a 30-fold. Well, I'm just going to do enough to get by. That attitude is so displeasing to God. When you feel you can just do enough to get by. Who do you think you're fooling? You're not fooling God. God knows your ability. He knows what he has gifted you to do.
And you may fool some people now. You know, people may feel, okay, that's the best you can do. But you know deep in your heart, and God knows, that that's not the best you can do. So if you 100-fold, you produce 100. If you 60-fold, you produce 60. If you 30-fold, you produce 30. So that God can be pleased and get the glory. Now, let me end by saying the healthy heart is the only soil that rewarded the sower's effort. Oh, my God. When you think about how good God is to you, how dare you be anything other than good soil? When you think about how God has blessed you beyond measure, how dare you be anything other than good soil? Only one soul, the healthy heart, the good soul, rewarded the sower for his efforts of sowing seed. You get word after word, word after word, word after word, word after word, and you hadn't rewarded God by putting that word in place in your life to produce fruit for his glory. My God. My prayer is that, Lord, I want to be a healthy heart. I want to be the soul that rewards you for what you're sowing into my life. Boy, think about just what God is doing in your life. You could have been gone a long time ago. God is yet taking care of you, blessing you, sowing into your life every day. And you wake up and you have the audacity to give God anything but your best. You give him as little as you can. You're chasing after the riches of the world, the cares of the world. You're allowing circumstances and situations to choke out the word of God. Birds are eating and devouring the word. Some people you have to cut out your life to change the course of your life. You have to lose some people because they're eating the word out of your life. You at home and they're eating the word out of your life, talking about everything but God. He deserves reward for the efforts of sowing seed. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you for confronting us, Lord, to change us from our ways, that we humble ourselves to you and be not like the Pharisees and the scribes, who were in constant rejection of Jesus. But Father, we are, and pray to be like your disciples, who sit at your feet, heard your word, and hear your word, and put the word in place in our lives, that our lives will be fruitful for your glory and man's good. Lord, we pray and ask you to watch over us and keep us. Keep our minds settled and stayed on thee. Help us, Father, to, Lord, reach out from among ourselves into this dark and mean world and invite others to come to know you. We understand that we are to socially distant, but we are not to spiritually distant. People need to be saved. We thank you, Father, for the young soul that was baptized on Sunday and the brother that joined on Sunday. And the many more, Father, that you will send this way. Help us.
Father, to be the church that you will have us to be, and do what you will have us to do. Do those things that's pleasing to you, to make a difference and an impact. Lord, that your kingdom will be extended, exalted, and illustrated in the earth. Align us, Father, that your body will be functional. Lord, align us. Put us in place. Lord, that your body will grow and increase. Align us. Father, that difference will be brought about and change of minds and hearts. Align us. Thank you, Father. We love you. We praise you. Watch over us as we travel from this place. Bless your people who have shared with us in this Bible study on this evening. I pray that your word be hid in their hearts, that they will live lives pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask your blessings on every name, every person named this evening, on our prayer list, bereaved, and who's hospitalized. Be a present help in their times of trouble. In Jesus' name, amen.